Thanks for that reminder, and I'm going to fill out the scratch.
Okay, at this time, I'll ask anybody who is here to speak to this application to raise your right hand, and I'll give you a swear. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this presentation you're about to give?
I do.
Thank you. All right. Ray, or whoever wants to come up and sit down and tell us what you're talking about.
I know my voice carries. Is this work for you? Basically, what we're looking to do is diversify farm. Agriculture is not as sustainable as it used to be. So we have transitioned from a wholesale business into a retail and doing events and things like that. What gave me the idea for this was one of my son, Andy, there's an orchard in Essex that one night a week, they have food truck events, and it's a huge draw to the community and the neighbors and the people, and they have a great time. That's his interest. Mine is actually the vendors. A weekend in the islands kind of put me in contact with that last year. We had, I think, a dozen tents. 10 by 10, they came in, set up, and the weekend weather wasn't good for them. It was rough. So we offered it to them the next weekend, hey, or the next day, come back, set up again. And it was great to see. These are local people from around the area that have talent, skills, but no place to set up and sell their products. So that's what we're kind of looking to do. The wood carver that lives in Keward Bay does an amazing job, and he actually does demonstrations. So it's educational for kids and adults, etc. That's what we're looking to do. Not every weekend, maybe every other weekend, if the weather's in agreeance. It's not going to impact much on South Street. Not like Apple Fest used to. No, I do not have plans to start Apple Fest again. But that's what we're looking to do, just a draw to get people into the area and also support some of the local people. We're not charging for site space from the vendors. It's real simple. If they have a good weekend or a good day, they want to make a donation to the farm, great. If they don't have good sales, there's nothing lost.
Okay, how we'll do this is there's two phases to the application. One is the application for the conditional use, and the other is the site plan. What I'd like to do is review the site plan first. And you want to review that for us?
Sure. Looking at the screen on the right hand side, which is the east side of South Street, we're already permitted for a large field area for trailers and campers to be parked from October into April or May. That field's kept mowed, it is dry. That's where most of the vendors would be set up, and there's parking there. Like the wood carver, we'd probably put on the west side of South Street up near our packing facility. It's a gravel area, and he creates a lot of sawdust and shavings. But he also needs power, and we've got outlets right there on the building. That also gets him away because he gets a little bit noisy with chainsaws, things like that. So it doesn't disrupt other vendors. Also, on the east side of the road, we have sheep and goats, things like that. So we try to be respectful to the animals and children. So we've got plenty of parking, and like everything hinges on what Mother Nature does. Right now, we ended up putting in a drainage ditch on the east side, which has helped dramatically. But when you get 3.4 inches of rain in 24 hours, the only thing that's going to help is concrete blocks to stand up. So parking is not going to be an issue. There will be a zero parking on South Street. Even during our busiest time, during the apple harvest time, we have no impediment on traffic from South Street from all the parking we have. And if somebody does decide to park on South Street, they are quickly escorted and moved to their exit.
Okay, anything else?
That's pretty much it.
All right. Board have any questions regarding the site plan?
I'll go first. I guess this is just, I guess, representative of where the vendors would be in terms of the little dots on the plan.
Yes.
My primary concern is people trying to cross South Street going back and forth if you have vendors on both sides.
We've never really had a problem because we have parking on both sides of the road during this time. And I do put a couple of traffic cones out near the road. And it's a straight section of road. We keep the tree limbs trimmed back, so there is good visibility.
Would you be putting vendors down near the parent child center, or is that strictly parking?
Just parking. Yeah, just parking.
Okay.
Last year we did a one day event for public safety. We had fire departments throughout the county, EMS, and I come down for about 3 or 4 hours. Sheriff's Department set up its off signal force for the kids. Everything's free. Just for them to have a good time and meet their local volunteers. We ended up moving that to by the parent child center, because when South Street was redone a few years ago, the company utilized that area and hauled in a lot of gravel. When they were done, they just leveled it, graded it, so it's actually a solid base under there.
Okay. I guess my other concern was lighting and well, also still people, you know, trying to cross South Street. Your hours of operation in October, you know, by 8 p.m., I think it's dark by then, right?
Yeah, we shut down by 5 o'clock.
I'm normally about that time. I'd be there by 7.
Okay. I mean, would it dent your plans if the board said, you know, until dark for those events?
That's fine.
Because then you're not having people trying to cross South Street in the dark. And
there is actually lighting on the poles they just installed this past year on the power poles.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
that's not covering the whole scene of this thing.
No. Right. Our retail currently is 10 to 6 during the summer. And then when harvest starts around September, we go 9 to 5.
Okay. So a limitation until dark instead of until whatever it was, 8 p.m. or something would not be a problem.
Yeah. That's a shame because I really like the sign, the lit up sign there for the donuts and the fried dough. It looks good in the dark.
That's the other place down the road.
Yeah.
Wrong farm. Okay.
Helps you find your way. Yeah.
So have you been prior to that? Were you at Lake Effects or were you at the top?
You didn't answer. Did you notice it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Those were my chief concerns, at least in terms of layout.
Yeah, everything's adapted to the weather, the wind, and Mother Nature, basically. I mean, it's real windy, and the wind's coming out of the west, and a chance of rain during that day. And I like most of the vendors on the west side of the road up against the packing facility, which is an actual windbreak. Some of the vendors actually make beautiful quilts and things like that, so you don't want them getting blown out. Their tent, et cetera. So it's just dealing with Mother Nature and trying to stay a step ahead of her.
So don't let me hog all the questions, but
are the vendors primarily non-food type vendors?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We did have a woman come in last year, and she does an enormous amount of canning, and She was Diabetes Association. She raised money for that organization. So it preserves things like that. We're not looking to do a farmer's market type thing.
So none of the vendors would be a ride. I mean, you have enough space to bring in a circus.
No.
With, not to give you ideas. I mean, that was still a can, maybe, right? But I mean, that wasn't your current intent, right?
Yeah. Actually, we are certified for lions and other exotic animals on the farm. Which the A licensing permit for animals. We're not getting those.
Okay.
I'm not going to write that down. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a big market for buffalo meat, you know? You might have to improve.
He wants to raise a baby bison.
You need a really good
really
fence. Some, oh, yes. Some poles. For, yeah.
No, in terms of the animals, none of the animals we currently have are their friends, Naomi. Does she go by King or Crazy?
Crazy. King. I'm sorry. She never changed her name.
I brought up two sheep, Miranda and her daughter Ruthie, this year. And we got them there for kids to pet. Doris Fennell from Sensei View just brought out two goats that I think this is the third year we've had those two. So they just come. And many adults play with the animals as kids.
I guess what I was thinking when I said rides was like Ferris wheel, roller coaster.
God, no.
Is mobile vendor, would that fit into the definition of mobile vendors? Would not, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're not doing an amusement park.
We're more or less thinking food trucks.
Okay.
For our mobile vendors.
The only thing we might bring in is a dunk tank or we're trying to raise money for an organization.
Yeah.
And I don't want really to get stuck sitting.
Jim will go. Jim will go to dunk tank.
I can't swim.
You don't need to. It's not happening.
Dunk tank would be actually kind of fun for the kids during the event that we do every year. You know, with first responders, you get the sheriff, fire chief, EMS chief, all sitting up there.
How about the select board chair?
Yeah, there you
go. And do that too.
Yeah.
Bring them down.
So it's just about having fun, and yeah, there's a lot of talented people around here, but they just don't have an outlet or a place to do things that we run across. And it's honestly a good draw to us to get people in. Nothing makes us happier than if a family shows up and they're there 3 or 4 hours for the afternoon. They eat at the hive, they get a couple of creamies, they play with the animals. And play with toys and stuff we got. Sometimes they even get family football games going in the parking lot.
So, any idea of the number of people, like during apple season, people are going to be there going to the orchard events anyway. So, that would be a good time to have these. But you're also planning to have the mobile vendor events a couple times a month.
Yeah.
Any idea what kind of traffic that would generate?
Not right offhand. I don't see much of an increase to the people who are coming there to pick apples.
Apples don't start in July though, right? So
no, they actually start in September.
Yeah. So I guess what I was wondering is now there are not too many people down there. But for the period of time where it's not apple season, what additional traffic?
On weekends,
any idea?
If it's nice out, we now have 20, 30 bicycles there from the rail trail, locomotion, and the parking lot is normally filled and across the road too. People just come and hang out and have a good time.
So you don't, but the mobile vendors would draw additional people, right? Isn't that part of the
idea? Yes, and then currently anything on the west side is not used for parking this time of year, and that entire field is not used for parking right now. So we do have the overflow space to accommodate probably 150 cars if we need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I'm asking is because our site plan requirements in the book say, among other things, we need, you know, an estimate of daily and peak hour traffic generated. So you know, can you pick a number out of the air? What you'd like to see? Without overestimating it.
With like the vendors setting up, not the food. We normally sit their time from 11 a.m. to 3 or 4 in the afternoon. So they're actually cleaned up and gone before we close or open in the morning. And it's a good weekend, and there's not other events competing against us. It would be unusual to have 150 people come through.
That sounds like a reasonable estimate. I'm looking at Doug, the engineer. That work for a traffic estimate?
He's the expert.
Well, okay.
Well, if you take that and you divide most vehicles that show up at the firm have 3 to 4 people in it, so you divide that number, 150 divided by 3 or 4, you kind of gives you an idea on the number of vehicles.
Yeah.
And they come in from both directions, both land and road, and region and village.
And as a preparation for this, you're not proposing to make any fixed site improvements, you know, permanent site changes or improvements, yep. Right?
No.
And when the events are done, people will not know they happen.
And we have portable scene handicapped. If we need to, when things get busy, we bring in another one during the fall time. So, plenty of bathroom space and.
Which you don't have to provide because you do not have a restaurant.
Correct.
That's all. Anybody else? Me? You're good. Mike, do you have any questions?
No, they don't. Thank you.
I have a couple. Just crossing South Street. I've heard no food trucks. Food trucks, can you give us a breakdown of what it is you're looking for as far as they're all going to be 10 by 10 tents or what?
Yeah, pretty much for the vendors, no, for the market.
Not pretty much. I'm asking you for, are there going to be food trucks? Or are there?
Yes, the plan is to have 5 food trucks at most on premises. That would be the maximum that I'd look for is 5. And that wouldn't be every time you expect 5. It could range from 3 to 5, depending on the event.
And they would be on the west side of
correct
south because of the power and water.
On the east side. We're going to have everybody self-cleaned.
Yeah, same. It could be either side. Blooming Onion used to come out for Apple Fest. They tied into our electrical system, ran their own box. Pat Brennan was at the farm the other day. He even actually pointed, that's my electrical panel right there. It's still there. So depending on what they need, we would not be doing the vendors with the flea market stuff at the same time as the food trucks. It's not all at once. The food trucks we kind of figured we'd look at, you know, some of our worst sales days, like the middle of the week.
Yeah.
And then we advertise on Facebook and give people something in the middle of the week. We would not do it on a Thursday, so we wouldn't compete with a winery or other events, things like that. But something different. Different option. The food places we have down here are great, but you can only eat at so many times.
You're saying 3 to 5 food trucks so that they don't oversaturate the number of people that are coming. But in addition to the food trucks, you might have the wood carver guy or some lady selling
wool
stuff.
No.
No, you would only do the food trucks on one given night? Okay.
Yeah, not combining them together.
Yeah, the vendors more or less, food trucks mainly what we're looking for the summertime to increase traffic. Vendors we're looking at to pick your own kind of season.
Okay.
More to keep people on the premises instead of coming for 15 minutes, getting your apples and leaving. That way they pick the apples, have a few minutes to look around, buy some more stuff, get creamies, pies, things of that nature.
I like that. So it's either food or it's...
Yeah, we just don't want too much going on at once. Okay. That would be way too much.
Yeah.
And take the family out to dinner that they can all choose what they want. They're different.
Okay. Any questions from Members of the public, yes, sir. Tell us your name and name and address, please.
I would just be concerned about the trash.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I would be more concerned about trash, all this sanitation.
About trash?
Yeah, and no offense, but currently your dumpsters are black.
Fine, we're just waiting for the pump to come out.
I know, but they have this.
Yeah, and we also have them in. And
they're like open bay. I mean,
no, I'm aware of that. Naturally, when we're done here, I'm packing them to tell us on Friday we'll crash. Recycling was just done yesterday.
I just want to add, I think this is a great idea. That was my only concern. Really.
I guess.
That's it.
Yeah.
What is your name? Debbie Terrio. Okay.
To follow that up, what would be the plan? I mean, you've got the different mobile vendors in there, which will change out from event to event. How would you be handling trash? Because if they're food vendors, you know, people are going to be eating near there. Are there picnic tables that are going to be provided? Or
yeah, we have picnic tables across the road. We have large trash, 1,000 items on the property, and we've got a lot of trash cans we can put out. And then at the end of the day, transfer them into the dumpster.
Does it make any sense to think about reducing? If you have food vendors, what I'm trying to say is, I wonder if it makes sense to have the food vendors on the same side of the road that the people are going to be sitting at to eat. So you don't have people getting the food, trying to cross South Street.
They can be good back to Mother Nature. Some of those trailers will gross out 8 to 10 thousand pounds, depending on what they're doing. And if the ground is saturated on the east side, they're just pulling in or just going to start to sink and make ruts. So we put on a solid gravel base across the road. And people are going to move around anyways. They do. The hive who's just north of us attached, kind of. Their people sit there or they'll wander down with their food to our side and big tables. Well, they're just doing the same thing. So
comment to the board. For past situations like this, where it's sort of a new thing and we haven't known exactly what some of the problems might be, maybe our concerns are overblown. There aren't going to be any problems. But we did put a stipulation in some of the previous approvals that the applicant returned to the board in 6 or 12 months. To talk about the experience, after their first season, to see what kind of problems might have arisen. Would you object to something like that?
No,
I mean,
no.
You know, if we have a bunch of people getting run over in South Street or something, we might want to change some of the parameters.
I will be there.
Yeah.
And you would probably frown, and I'd probably get a complaint if I go in a crosswalk in there.
We could do it at night with rollers and, you know, they didn't just appear the next morning.
Yeah, just to give you an idea, this is very, very small scale to what we used to do with Apple Fest, where in a 48-hour period, we had over 10,000 people come through, road was closed, and there was virtually no issues. And you're talking from us down to Folsom School, there were probably 25, 30 different food vendors everywhere. And Sunday night when it was done, there was no touch.
It was team.
All cleaned up and
everybody was
there. Yeah. So doing something like this is nothing new to us. We've done huge scale events with Apple Fest. Most of that occurred on that
spot. Tim Mullen is on also.
I don't know, South Street can handle the winery too.
Yeah.
We've seen 90 cars one night, wasn't there?
90 cars go through where?
By our house for so far.
Yeah.
So I think the roads are doing pretty decent so far.
Yeah.
The road's okay. It's just the person walking across the street with whatever they just bought at the food truck, at the picnic table, and 90 cars kind of cool.
You've got hackets in the fall, people cross the road.
Yeah.
You've got blue paddle, and I don't mean any disrespect for any business, but blue paddle cars were parking on Route 2 across the water and parking. You've got the winery. They have people who park across the road and cross over. It's just wherever you have anybody, you're going to have traffic walking across, and that's where
We can do our part too as far as putting signs up. Please look both ways before crossing the road. Put kind of orange visibility cones before you approach. That way, it gives you an idea of something's going to go on. Get people's attention.
We've never had an incident other than my father and his mule.
I have a question there. Yes.
Beverly Lively, 128 South Street. Just wondering, with the food vendors, are they going to come for the day and then leave?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they going to be there all week long just sitting?
Oh, no, everything
each night, though.
Yeah. It's kind of along the same lines. If you go down into UVM Square, the food trucks pull in at 10 o'clock, they set up, they do the prep, they serve for 2 or 3 hours, then they pack up and they leave. It's kind of like we're doing also during the Christmas parade. When you have the two food vendors at the Folsom School, same thing. They come in, set up, sell. Then
I didn't know about that.
They're gone.
We're out. I didn't know about that.
You didn't know about that?
I didn't know. That's okay. We'll
been 3 years.
Sometimes sell out.
Apparently, one of the foods.
Any other questions?
For a place to eat.
When it comes to the vendor. Reviews for food vendors, they're reviewing the location, so it's not like the individual vendor had. They get a license every year to be here, but we don't have to. We just review the location, and then once it's approved, it's any vendor can go there with the property owner's permission.
Any other site plan questions for the ball?
Maddie Bisto, GR7.
The other thing too is we're going to be registering like the vendors. My daughter will be doing that through Facebook, and we're going to be screening what they're going to be selling. We're not looking for beta and VHS tapes and showing age. We're a lot of paraphernalia and stuff like that. Or Charlie Arts. It's local comics that they make.
There will be your vendors will have to get a license through me. It's just $10 and it covers the whole year.
Perfect.
It's not me, but just aim them in my direction.
That's all the vendors or just the food vendors?
Any vendor. It's the mobile vendor, which is also a little tense, whether they can move from location to location.
Yeah.
The select board adopted a mobile vendor ordinance 2 years ago. And it's just basically to make sure that the locations for these things are safe and there's kind of parking and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the license, it's only $10 and it just gives us an idea of who's here and how many, it's just a way of us to kind of keep track. And that's the same thing, super
situation. They got to show us their permit prior to set up.
I just usually just tell them typically when you're here, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, regarding the site plan, we have a little bit of cleanup to do. The applicant is requesting a waiver from showing contours on the site plan. We kind of went through this with boat storage or camping storage. Somebody willing to make a motion to
almost.
Gary moves second. Jim, all in favor of granting waiver, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye. Aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Other than that, we need to approve the site plan complete. Anybody willing to make a motion on that?
I'll move.
Kira Foos?
Second.
Second by Jim. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Now, the conditional use, we've kind of gotten into some of it. But we have some information we need to get clarified, and pretty much go the same way. Ask the board for their questions, and then we'll proceed. Anybody want to start? I can. All right. I think we need to tie down your proposed hours, right? On your application, it says 9 to 8, and I've heard less than that, more than that.
Yeah, I don't see it being any more than 10. And the 8 o'clock would be if it's a nice summer evening and we have food vendors in there. And the Hive wants to stay open, and it's just a beautiful evening. That would be the latest part.
We put, when Ray and I sat down with this application, we put those hours as sort of the maximum at either end, and depending on mostly the time of year and which vendors and stuff, it would be somewhere within that. And like we talked before, you know, before dark.
How about 9 a.m. till dark?
That's okay. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, fine.
I mean, sun doesn't seem bad.
There's got to be a legal definition.
This is hours or events would be 9 to 8. Actual hours, maybe less. I mean, it's just hours or events are between 9 a.m. and 8. I don't see it right now.
In October, it's dark at 8.
So I can go out at 8 at night in October. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it going past 7 if that latest during September and October. You got 30% setting earlier, but August, July, 8 o'clock is still right out.
Right now, 9:30.
Right. What does it matter?
My concern is we have something that's creating, you know, people crossing the road on South Street, dark, there's no lighting. I think we're creating a hazard. So why can't we say dark? Because, you know, in June 21st, you can stay out until almost 10 o'clock. Sunset, I think there's a legal definition of sunset, right?
Sunset can cause an issue because it's real early and you still have sometimes an hour of good sunlight after that. Depending on Mother Nature, the skies are clear, full moon, and all the other factors. I like the stipulation. Everything will be shut down prior to getting dark.
So my phone app here, Weather Underground, has sunset and last light. So right now, sunset's 8:43, last light is 9:20.
It's kind of the same way with hunting season. You have half an hour after sunset to hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can go by that if you'd like.
I would be in favor of that. I don't know about the rest of the board.
Last light?
Yeah.
Last
light. Okay, so we're going to say 9 a.m. to last light. Is that how you want to word it?
And what actually is last light? Is that sunset or half an hour after sunset?
I don't know. It's on Weather Underground here. We stipulate it, but according to last light on Weather Underground.
It's dropped into the horizon.
Half
hour
after sunset.
It's a little ambiguous, but
that's the problem. But it's still, it means not 2 hours.
Last light means it's no longer light. You can't see.
Right.
Yeah.
You opened up a can of worms, Jim.
Well, I hope you see our dilemma. I mean, we want to get it tied down as best we can.
Yeah, but we're a firm believer in using common sense. What's that? Yeah. If it's a storm, storms rolling in that evening, the light's going to diminish a little early. Start getting dark, we're going
to
shut down.
Well, we're not telling you you can't shut down.
No, I'm saying
what we're trying to get is when you should shut down.
Yeah.
Common sense, I think this is really good.
Yeah.
What was that, Karen?
Around about eight.
Around about eight.
Like
roundabout.
No roundabout. Eight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Yeah, I would say eight being done. And then we can put a stipulation in too if it's you know, time of year when it gets dark at 5:30, we can go to dark.
Okay.
Or like fish and wildlife, you can just do half hour after dark or half hour after sunset.
Well, I kind of want, I mean, if I'm thinking about the minutes, but also the draft decision I'm going to be writing. And I'm thinking, could I say 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. during summer months? Beyond that, 9 a.m. to last light. I still like last light. Yeah. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable, I think we can get comfortable.
Yeah, the last thing we want to do is create an event or something going on that expose us to liability or create more paperwork for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you said a limit of 12 minutes.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
After that, it's like herding cats.
So that's the vendors.
You're lucky.
The food trucks are limited to eight. I mean, five.
Yeah, five.
And a maximum of five food then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chances are maybe two or three or it could be one.
I just want to keep rotating, basically. Nobody wants to go eat the same food again and again and again. So just every other week or whatever, bring in a couple different ones. Kind of thinking more about the local folks, you know. Where do you go for lunch? Where do you go for dinner around here?
And we can also open it up at special groups like the Lodge. Besides, they want to do a barbecue like ribs and BFW you used to. If they got their permits set up, have that and have fun. So they keep the vendor down and it supports local groups.
I think it's special groups. I think that wasn't the town office employees.
You guys could buy a barbecue and go out and sell it.
Yeah.
Make a little money.
Make a little money.
The town office employees auxiliary.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, they'll be working at the food truck.
I guess the only other thing I have is I'm still perplexed with the UPIC and adding vendors. You honestly feel that the vendors aren't going to affect the traffic?
No.
For UPIC, it's just going to be an additional attraction for exactly. People who come for UPIC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got the land, we've got the acreage and the open areas. Actually, Hackensenda and I offer them land use for their overflow on our property. But you've been by Hackens and you've seen just a parking nightmare. We don't have that.
Well, we have the ability to move people too, but what we have currently is not enough. We can park cars in a different field and move people with a tractor and trailer.
Yep.
Doing that for a long time.
And a lot of our UPIC people actually, beginning of the season on the weekend, drive down South Street, go into the orchard and park down there at the actual picking site. We see an increase in families with three or four little kids. So they don't have to wrangle them on the trailer, et cetera. And elderly people that are handicapped, easier to get out, and they're right there. One of our big trailers is handicapped accessible, too. So we've tried to hit all different aspects. And even now in the orchard, they can pay for bags with credit cards or debit. Well, we've got Wi-Fi on there.
Any other questions from the board? Cameron, Mike, any questions?
I don't have any more questions. I just want to reiterate a concern that I think I've heard before, and that's crossing South Street, especially during dusk hours, little kids scooting across to meet mom and dad who don't know they're coming, whatever. And I'm wondering, is it possible for us to request or require any kind of cones to be put out to have some kind of a visual warning that this might be going on? Or is that outside of our purview?
No, we can.
Can I request from the town in that area to put up a couple pedestrian signs that indicate they're crossing the road there?
I don't think you have to. If it's something that the board puts as a condition, I don't think there's any additional.
He's talking about the town's putting it up.
Oh, asking John and the guys to come here?
Yes, that's what they're looking for in terms of warning people that the people crossing. It took visibility. Yeah, we put cones out, but homemade signs really don't carry much weight.
That one I can bring to the select board at the next meeting and ask with that. So, I mean, that's
and you guys could all show up for that of the select board, right?
That would be something that would make an awful lot of sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Possibly for the whole length between Hackett's and you all.
Well, from Hackett's.
Like a flashing.
Makes sense to me.
Those are a tougher thing to get.
That would be. Because
I saw
people
a speed limit thing
now,
come
back.
Too fast.
Yeah.
They need to change.
The only thing with blinking lights is you're actually tracking them and they focus on the light and not doing their peripheral vision.
They probably just ahead of
that.
Yeah, no problem.
And
that just
trying to keep everything away from the roadside. And we can actually try to corral these people. The cones, hey, from South Street here. But they go where they want.
Oh, yeah. Especially if their car's up there and they're done.
Yeah. They're all over the place.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Comment.
I'm here.
From those in the public, I see a hand.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the parking, Ray, because over the past years, you've allowed people to park in that area, you know, the east side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
You have the U-pick or the busy times.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have all those vendors there, then are you going to have enough parking?
Oh, yeah. The vendors are actually going to be directly either in front of the packing facility on that side or across the road up where the animals are.
Oh, up closer to the
yeah.
road.
Yeah, and they're going to be, we did a ditch to dry out some more. So they're actually going to be not even really in the parking area.
Okay.
And we also have parking everything in for below the cherry trees. I could probably put 100 cars down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can mow it. They have a nice spot to go.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say, to me, it looked like the vendors are going to be kind of where the petting zoo was?
Yeah.
Yep. Same kind of location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the tents, we can put them near the playground area, by the shade tents, things like that, just kind of spread out. So it's not like a line that people are following. They can just mill around and have a good time.
Anything else from the board? Anything else from the public? If not, I'll close the hearing.
Did you want to discuss hot air balloon rides while we're at it? I'm kidding.
No, how about the axe throw in the bed?
Thank you. We have,
I know.
That means.
How many days?
We have 45 days. It'll be.
We have 45 days to render the decision, but I don't think that
okay.
should be a problem.
The board meets next. On July 10th, and we will probably finalize the deliberation.
The food trucks are his, so if you get food poisoning or anything, I get nothing to do with it. Reading then, that's it.
Will they be there at lunchtime?
That would be the plan, yeah. Yep.
And thinking about people that move that work in this building, but which means working for
we can relay.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of the whole plan on it. It's like think about lunch. It's like, oh, there's a couple places. It'd be nice for local to have another place to go, different options.
Yeah.
Other options.
My email goes to everybody. I've got a copy here, Doug, if you didn't bring one of them, we're going to send each other. Okay.
We had at that meeting Mike Waltz, Jim Brightwell, Lisa, Nate, Gareth, Ellie, Tim, myself.
Yeah, didn't we have a full board at that last meeting?
Tim was not here, so he didn't give me any input on the minutes.
Well, I already told him that I found one typo, but I was going to let him find it. I wasn't going to point it out to him. But otherwise, I think it's perfect.
I think it's wonderful.
I just feel free. You're my favorite.
Is anyone willing to make a motion? I guess
I just made one.
I'll move to pass these wonderfully formatted meetings.
Okay, then I'll second.
Okay. With the correction of the typo, which nobody is.
Yeah. It's in the very first line.
Board minutes is missing a space.
Mm-hmm.
But that's board minutes. Oh, that's a new word.
The underlining.
No, it's.
There's no space between board and minutes.
Yeah.
That's a new word now.
I know.
It's good.
That's a new word.
That's the only.
I'll look for it in the next version of Webster's.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Where is it?
So we had a motion, so second, don't we have to say aye?
Everybody in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Good. The date's correct.
Yeah, the date is actually correct. It took me a minute because I kept thinking, wait a minute, what happened to the first one in June? It took me a minute to realize it was my meeting.
All right, administrator's report.
Okay, our next meeting, July 10th, there's two hearings. One is a setback waiver over on Sunrise Drive in Keeler Bay Village. That is super simple. The other one is Seb's wants, it's an added use. They want to do outdoor movies, only maybe this summer, like at the most three times, you know, maybe once a month or something.
Pretty cool.
Like, yeah. And so that is... That would be, you know, obviously after the business is closed, after it's dark, the whole bit, but on the lawn and just something, they wanted to do something that would be a community activity. And then on...
They'd have to keep the ice cream thing open, right?
They said everything would be closed, but and they would expect...
What would be the fun in that?
Well, conditioner.
Yeah.
Sorry. No concessions. Well,
they could just serve it under reduced light.
Yeah, sorry. And then on July 24th, a three-lot subdivision. Doug, you'll probably have to recuse yourself from that one. It's the Lawrence one on Gifford Lane. Unless... You don't think you have to, but just
no, I think that's probably wrong.
Yeah. And then an amended site plan that night, the mini golf is back. New people bought it, same one that's been approved. The only thing they're changing is the features. Mm-hmm. They're not changing anything about the site plan itself or the conditional use or any
no
of
more
those
steampunk.
Things.
Oh, you told right. us about that.
No more steampunk.
Is it now tractors and stuff?
It's more Vermont-based, kind of historical, but based on more Vermont things like agriculture, skiing, and things like that.
Marijuana raising.
Yeah.
Yeah, are they hoping to do something this year?
I'm sorry?
Are they hoping to start any work?
No. There's, I doubt it possibly in the fall, but they're getting ready to start putting the road in, Lavin Lane, but they're slowed down right now because it's so wet out there. We've had so much rain. And of course, any kind of development on that is going to be delayed until that lane is in. So anyway, that is coming back on July 24th.
Do you know if that lot actually sold Like, does someone own it now?
Yes, they bought it in January.
Okay, so
January. Yeah. And they're working with the same, well, there's not much that has to be changed, but the same engineer, Dave Marshall, who did it for the original ones, is working with them on this. I think they do, they may possibly be coming back at some point and changing the little clubhouse into possibly an office with a dwelling upstairs, you know, kind of a thing. But anyway, that's...
So they're going to actually have septic, potentially?
They want to.
It's a big endeavor.
Yeah, exactly. That's a long way. They might be waiting until there's some other stuff that's proposed in that area. They might be waiting until that's done.
It's just there are two closings so far, right? Like Cider bought a lot.
And yes. Know. Yeah. So, and then...
You know, on each hole, maybe... Yeah, each hole, maybe we're going to have a little miniature dwelling for housing.
Yeah.
For
be a PUD.
Yeah. Right. You know, a little 10 by 10.
Yeah, my
making a whole golf
course.
Yeah.
Like if it's a 9-hole course, you'd have 9 little dwellings, you know.
Yeah.
There you go.
The golf resort.
Yeah.
Spin a leaf. The only other thing, as of July 1st, there are some amendments to open meeting law. Not many of them affect us, but the ones that do, again, these all start on July 1st, so it will be effective at our next meeting, require all public bodies to record in audio or video form their meetings, which we already do, and post the recordings in a designated electronic location for a minimum of 30 days following the approval and posting of the official minutes. Basically, we're going to have to put, I'm only going to do audio because video is just eating up my computer. But we're going to have to put the recording of all of our minutes attached as an attachment to the minutes on the website. The nice thing is after about 60 days, I can go in and
you can also just put a link to them, leave the recordings in Zoom.
You do that with your...
I may have
to talk with you. I've been trying. Yeah, I may talk with you about some of those options and on how to do it because
I just click record right now, and it says local or cloud. And I hit cloud, and then it goes to Naomi's email and she emails.
Yeah, we only have so much
storage
for cloud, and we reached it pretty quickly. Oh. I now just do it to the computer, and then I put it on a zip drive.
But they'll be happy to sell you more storage for nominal amount.
Well, that's the thing. Our treasurer isn't happy about spending more money for all that. But anyway,
you might. Who are you?
Where's the server? It has to be stored digitally.
Well, it's got to be available.
Have them come in and get it on a zip drive.
It has to be put on the website.
Actually, it has to be on the website.
Yeah,
that's how it says.
Yeah,
it would make so much more sense to leave the recording in Zoom for the 30 or 60 days.
Yeah,
and then you get a link that you paste.
That's true.
Along with the minutes.
Okay.
Points there.
Is that how you do it?
It goes away.
Yeah, because it's okay. It's to the clouds.
They probably expire
after. Naomi or Sue, they showed me.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And they just said record to the cloud, and then that's all I did. So,
yeah. Okay.
And another advantage is, well, you have to look into seeing how long it will stay before it expires.
Mm-hmm.
But if it expires, then you don't have to worry about expiring.
Going in and
it will hopefully expire itself, but you need it for at least, you'd have to look to see what they offer.
There. Yeah. So anyway, and then, allows all public bodies to meet remotely. Right now, we're required to have a physical location along with, you can have a remote, but there has to be a physical location now. And doesn't mean everybody has to be there, but that way the public can attend if they don't have the ability to.
That's changed. I thought that was always the case.
That was always the case, but now they're allowing it to be completely remote if, in cases of emergency or a local incident, as they call it.
You're supposed to have a physical place unless there's an emergency.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the last one that really applies to us, This one I thought was really interesting. Doesn't really apply to us, but it's new and I like it. Imposes annual training requirements on select board chairs, town managers, and mayors, or in this case, a town administrator. So,
open meeting training.
Open meeting, yeah. Which is really great because I can't tell you the number of times I've had to correct the select board for breaking open meeting law. It's continual. So for them to have to be required to go or at least their chair is a really good thing. And anyway, so that's all I've got for tonight. Yeah, that's all I've got.
Mm-hmm. What's the item? Adjournment.
I'm in favor of that.
Is that a motion?
Yeah.
Is there a second?
I motioned.
I'll turn.
All in favor of adjourning, signify by it.
Aye.
Deliberative.
Do you want to give me any kind of guidance or anything about the draft's decision? Do you want me to just pitch that and send it out to you and you can scribble it up?
I think it's just about wording of the dustbin, right?
Yeah.
It's heard of.
Oh, thank you.
Make sure it's 5 food trucks or 12.
I mean, she's got that in her notes.